But tonight, I want to take a moment and get you to consider some lyrics with me to a hymn that we sing here on occasion. You will recognize these lyrics, and you probably have memorized some of them. It was written in 1831 by a man by the name William H. Bathurst. He was 35 years old at the time. Here are the lyrics. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe, that will not murmur nor complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief or pain will lean upon its God. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage or without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. Lord, give me such a faith as this, and then whate'er may come, I'll taste and hear the hallowed bliss of an eternal home. Have you ever longed for a faith like this? A faith that just does not shrink, does not murmur, does not complain, shines more bright even when the tempest around you are raging. Maybe you do. If you do, then I pray that God's richest blessings will continue to accompany that faith. But you may be one of those here tonight that says, I don't quite have a faith that strong. I'd like to have a faith that strong, but I don't have it yet. And if you're still seeking for a faith like that, I want you to join me for just a moment in looking at a passage, one verse. Of course, it'll take us some different places, but it's a verse that you've heard quoted many times. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. As you know, Hebrews 11 is the great chapter on faith. And we find so much in that chapter, different heroes of faith and their encounters and what they did and how they responded and all about us. But in this letter, which is penned to Jewish Christians, the letter simply known as Hebrews, we find a statement in verse 6. Here it is. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. This one verse is rich in truths. The truths that it presents about faith and what it takes to have a faith that is rewarded. And I want you to think about what He says in this one verse for just a moment tonight. Before we can seek God, the writer says we must believe that God even exists. And without faith, he tells us, it's impossible to please God. But what is faith? If you had to define faith, what is faith? The writer begins the chapter back in verse 1 by saying, faith is the assurance or the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. So you take those two words, it's assurance, it's substance, because that very word is a compound word in its original language, and it means that which supports or upholds something. So faith is that which supports, which upholds us. But then also it is the conviction, the evidence of things that we do not see. You see, it is the proof that there is something that we don't see, but yet we believe in. Faith is the assurance that those things which we cannot see are still real. One verse that we've looked at several times over the last 2 months is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And at the end of that verse, what the writer says there, what Paul tells us, is that we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. He says, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. There are eternal realities that we do not see, but yet they exist. And faith is the conviction that those things exist. You go over into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, down in verse 7, and what does he say? For we walk not by faith, or not by sight, but by faith. Really, it's the other way around. We walk by faith, not by sight. It is our faith that keeps us moving in the direction we need to go. And what the writer says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, is that that person who comes to God must believe that He is, that He exists. In Isaiah 45, verse 5, God speaking through His prophet there says simply this, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, He says, there is no God. One more chapter, chapter 46 of Isaiah, there in verse 9. Again, it's God declaring, I am God and there is no other. I am God, there is no one like me. So we have to believe in the one true Creator. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, what does Moses write? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So here's the thing, all that we see came into existence at some point in time. It was not here. There was a beginning point. And the most logical explanation for what now exists is that there had to be a pre-existent creator. Someone that existed before all of this that brought it into being. And the most logical answer to that is God. So faith requires that we believe in God. But then he tells us that believing that God exists, he says, we should seek him. What does it mean to seek God? How do you seek God? You know, when we were kids, we played a little game, didn't we, called hide and seek. Someone would be it, and everybody else would run and hide. They'd find those places that hopefully you wouldn't find them, and you'd count to whatever number had been predetermined, usually 10, and then ready or not, here I come. And you try to find those individuals that were hiding from you. But the truth is, God is not like that. He's not hiding from us. He doesn't want to hide himself from us. He wants us to find him. But he tells us there are certain things required of us to find him. In Paul's reasoning with those philosophers there in Athens that we read about over in Acts chapter 17, there in verse 27, he says this. He says, that God, and then he makes this point, made the world and all things in it. And then he points out that it is God's desire, as he put it, that they would seek God if perhaps they might grope for him. And then he adds, and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Long before that, David told his son Solomon, he said, if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So how do we seek God? Well, first of all, our search for God must be continual. It's not just something, seek him now and forget him after that. No, it's a continual seeking. It's a continual searching and looking for God. After David had facilitated the bringing of the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, he wrote a psalm of thanksgiving. That psalm of thanksgiving is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, but it's also copied again in Psalm 105. And in 1 Chronicles 16, down in verse 11, he says this. He says, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. So it is to be a continual seeking for God, always looking for him, trying to find him. And when we seek for him, we are to search for him with all of our heart and soul. It's not a half-hearted, well, I'll pick up the Bible today, look at it a little bit, set it down, pick it up next week. Maybe I'll look at it, maybe I won't. When I feel like it, I'll try to find him. But other than that, I'm just going to go on my way and do my merry thing. But David once commanded the leaders of Israel, just before his death, to help his son Solomon as the new king. And here's what he said to them. He said, as we find it over in 1 Chronicles 22, there in verse 19, he says, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Is that what we do? Do we set our heart and soul to seek God? Do we seek him continually? Through his prophet Jeremiah, what God said is, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. In other words, if we go at it half-heartedly, we're not going to find him. It's not that he doesn't want to be found. It's just that we won't go through the trouble to truly seek him out and know him and understand him. And so we seek him continually, but we seek for him through his word. That which we call the Word of God. We pick it up. And you see, in that Word, he reveals to us himself over and over again. He shares with us things about himself that we wouldn't know otherwise. And so, in Isaiah 28, verse 23, for example, he says, give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my words. And the only way we're going to do that is to pick it up and read it and study it so that we might come to know Him, the one true God. And finally, we seek Him through prayer and supplication, praying to Him, asking Him to help us know Him more deeply, to know Him better. That's what Daniel did. If you go in the book that bears his name over in chapter 9, verse 3, Daniel said, "So I gave my attention to the Lord to seek Him by prayer and supplication." And he also talks about fasting in sackcloth and ashes as well. But prayer and supplication, seeking God. There is reward if you truly do try to find God, if you're truly seeking Him. And one of those things is that you will find Him. You will find God. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? Seek and you will find. If you truly are searching for God, He is going to let you find Him. If you're searching for Him with all your heart, and finding God is the greatest joy that any of us could know. In Psalm 16, verse 11, here's what David said. He said, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." And then in Psalm 21, verse 6, in speaking of the king who sought God, David wrote there, "You will make him most blessed forever. You will make him joyful with gladness in your presence." You see, if you're searching for God, God says, "You're going to find me. And when you find me, here's what you're also going to encounter: the pleasures that I give, the joy that is mine to share with you." But there's another part of the reward, and that is our salvation. Salvation in two different arenas, if I may. One is the deliverance from the physical straits in which we may find ourselves at times. You know, it's not just about salvation for eternity. It's also about what we need here and now, isn't it? How often do we pray for somebody that's undergoing surgery, somebody that is very sick, and we want God to heal them and to restore them to their health? We pray for those things. Or somebody that's struggling in some situation in their life. You see, after watching God destroy Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea, Moses and the sons of Israel sang a song of praise, which we find over in Exodus chapter 15. And here's something they said: "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will extol Him." They were talking about He is our salvation because He's rescued us from what Pharaoh intended for us. It was a physical defeat that rescued them. When David was fleeing from his own son Absalom, here's what he wrote in Psalm 3, verse 9, or verse 8, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." He was talking about God rescuing him from what his son intended for him. And in Psalm 62, verse 7, he wrote this: "On God my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength, my refuge is God." And that can be taken any way. It can be taken the other way, because not only is there a physical salvation from the straits we find ourselves in life, there is also the deliverance from the consequences of sin that God promises when we seek Him with our whole heart. Paul wrote to Timothy, and here's what he said. He said that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, he said that we obtain as the outcome of our faith the salvation of our souls. That's what you get when you seek for God, when you search for Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, on a continual basis. But finally, when we seek for God, we find eternal life. Jesus, in His prayer to His Father that John records for us in chapter 17 of his gospel, there in verse 3, he said this: "This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You've sent." And later in his first epistle, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, John would add this: "This is the promise which He made to us, eternal life." So there you have it. Through his prophet Jeremiah, he had said, "You will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with your whole heart." And the Hebrew writer said that without faith it is impossible to please God. For those who come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Remember the last verse of that hymn that we looked at just a moment ago? Lord, give me such a faith as this, and then whatever may come, I'll taste and hear the hallowed bliss of an eternal home. What about your faith tonight? Is it a faith that sustains you in the difficulties of life? Is it a faith that draws you nearer to your God? Is it a faith that will see you all the way through this life into the eternal home that He's prepared for you? If your answer to that is no, I want you to know that you can have such a faith. God wants you to have such a faith. And He invites you to come to Him so that you can do so. Are you willing to do that tonight? To confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, to turn from the sin that separates you from God, to be buried with Him in baptism, having repented of that sin, so that He may wash it away? Or maybe you're just a Christian and you know, I'm struggling right now. I need prayer. I need your prayers. We're here to do it with you and for you. If we need to pray that God will strengthen your faith. You know, that was the plea of the apostles. Increase our faith. Sometimes that's what we need. If we can help you in any way tonight, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.